For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Alexandra Olgan. Jack Margolis is somewhat of a pioneer in Charleston historic preservation circles. He's the first to get approval to elevate his 1859 two-story yellow home to meet flood requirements.
Basically, they're going to jack it up. They'll put rods underneath the house, and all the rods will be synchronized to go up at the same time.
Margolis got the go-ahead by the Board of Architectural Review, a body that okays changes to historic homes. But it was a process. This proposal was his second try. He's raising his home about 2 more feet, which includes altering the red brick steps and iron banister that lead to his Charleston-style southern-facing piazza. But he's careful to explain that the entrance will look straight out of the 19th century.
An expert could come by and could possibly notice the difference. But the average tourist walking by, the average Charlestonian, wouldn't notice any difference.
That's the key to preservationists. What's important to them is that the house retains its historic character.
And we thought this was a good early example of how to approach the problem.
We're not going to be fundamentalists about it. If it's raising a building a couple of feet, prevents it from flooding, then that might be something worth doing.
That's Robert Gurley with the Preservation Society of Charleston and Winslow Hasty with the Historic Charleston Foundation. This is the first flood-based elevation project both groups have gotten behind. Elevating historic homes to meet flood requirements makes both men a little nervous. As Hasty points out, some of the newer construction that's raised to the FEMA standard of nearly 1 story above sea level looks a bit out of place.
They look like these crazy things that are shooting up into the sky, and there's all you get is a blank facade along the street, you know, up to above your head. And that just doesn't provide any kind of visual interest, or and the scale is off.
To preservationists like Hasty and Gurley, making sure one house on a street of historic homes doesn't look out of context is important. The city is working on guidelines for historic homeowners considering elevation to meet flood requirements. The city is also taking other measures to protect the low-lying, frequently flooded downtown from sea level rise, like raising the sea wall that protects large historic homes on the edge of the peninsula. City planner Jacob Lindsay points to a black marking on the concrete wall.
This thing right here, where it says top of wall, this is where the low battery will be elevated to.
Lindsay says that a higher battery wall should help protect the city from flooding. But during Hurricane Matthew last October, water breached the concrete barrier and lingered, causing damage to many homes. Lindsay says the city is not actively encouraging people to elevate historic properties, but is willing to help those homeowners who reach out. Another coastal city, Annapolis, Maryland, has a different attitude.
We already have in place a tax credit for historic buildings, specifically for flood mitigation, so that if they need to make improvements to their property, they will receive a 25% tax credit against qualified costs.
That's Lisa Craig. She leads the historic preservation effort in Annapolis, which includes planning for sea level rise. Craig and the team have actively pursued funding to get the city's historic buildings ready.
If we aren't out there actually working with property owners or using improvements to public infrastructure to protect these economic assets, we're basically just going to draw some pretty pictures of them, and that's all we'll have left.
And that's the attitude some preservationists in Charleston are adopting. They would rather see buildings raised a few feet than lose them altogether. For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Alexandra Olgan, reporting from Charleston.